good to see you again here on another Bible study day. And we've got a real good...
Our text today, scripture, comes from...
This was probably written by a student or a protege, so to speak, of Isaiah. Those of us who receive Christ as our Savior, we all become a part and are adopted into that family.
And God is going to give you an opportunity to be good, kind, to elevate, to help somebody.
All right, we're going to get right into our lesson today. And we've got a real good lesson.
Hello, and welcome to another Bible study here at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. I am so excited to be delivering this message to you, this wonderful, power-packed lesson we have today. I am Reverend Zachariah Johnson. I'm happy to serve here at the Bethlehem Baptist Church as a minister of education. I thank our pastor, Dr. Michael A. Evans, for this opportunity to bring our lesson. Our lesson is found in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. For your hearing, I will be reading from the English Standard Version. Our lesson title is A Call to Follow, a call to follow. In your textbook lesson commentary, it might read the ultimate fishing story, the ultimate fishing story. Now hear the word of God. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Starting at verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their net, getting in to one of the boats, which was Simon's. He asked him to put it out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Here we see one of those active imagery moments of Jesus' ministry. He's preaching and teaching in the land around Galilee. He has taught them, and so now the crowd has become so big, so pressing, that he wasn't able to reach them where they were. He had to set up almost an impromptu pulpit out in the middle of this lake, which gave him some power, some more amplification, power of his voice. He made sure that he was able to get the lesson, the word of God, clearly. I wonder, with so much technology and ways and means of accessing so much information we have at our fingertips, commentaries, Bibles, and all of those things, I wonder what kind of urgency do we apply to those things we really want. I mean, you can see it right here and today, and we know that as we face and live in this new year, thank God for it. He has brought us through 2020. But now, what kind of urgency do you have? Here, the people, they had an urgency to hear the word. Oh, what a privilege it is to know that at our fingertips, we have God's word. If you have struggle reading, you have God's word through audio form. If you have struggle with, if your English is not your native language, we have God's word through the Wycliffe Bible Project. Whatever you need at this moment and this time, God's word is able to reach you. Not only are we introduced to the people's urgency for God's word, and they pressed him, which drove him to the boat, but the boat was Simon's boat. Here, Luke, for the first time, he enters into our reading, the disciple that will be named later, Peter. His name is Simon here. But I'm so glad that this shows us that God is interested in meeting us in our assigned location. You know, it's as you serve that God comes along the way. I've heard our pastor say that, you know, be careful. You may be entertaining a host of angels. You don't know who you may bump into along the way. Here's Simon, Peter, the one who would give that triumphant message in the beginning of Acts. Simon Peter, the one who would stand and fight valiantly, but although not with permission, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here we have Simon Peter, the one who will be a disciple, one of the pillars of the church. Simon, who the one who would even deny Jesus three times. Simon, the one who will be restored by God himself in his resurrected body. We all have a moment in life where our story starts. I would dare say to you that as a Christian who came to faith at a very young age, that there's something about it when a Christian comes to faith as an adult. And in this lesson today, we'll see what that means and what happens when a man, a woman, an adult comes to faith. Watch what happens to Simon through this story. It says, "And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing.'" Here he is, this master fisherman who knew that it was best practices to go fishing during the daytime. Here he is, this master fisherman who knew it was best practices to go fishing with a clean net. Here he is, who, as he heard the word of God, knowing that Jesus was the son of a carpenter, taking instruction from him and testing God at his word. Ah, that is a grand challenge for an adult and for any believer, anyone who encounters the word of God. Are you willing to hear God's word, and no matter what your sensibilities, what your rationale, what excuses, what reasons, because you know that God, it be God's reasons and thoughts are far beyond our thoughts, to hear God's word and to know that even through it all, I'm willing to do what you asked me to do. Even when he has toiled. I like that now it has been night, and no, it was not an opportune time to go fishing. It wasn't a great time to go fishing. In fact, even in the state of Texas, there are laws, regulations that require us not to go fishing at night. It's just not right. But even after he's toiled, which brings us back to some of that nature that all mankind would have to deal with after the fall, we would have to toil for the work and for the fruit of the ground as we had subdued the earth. Even after he has labored, and even when he's labored and put forth the energy and the sweat and the tears, he still ended up with nothing. Ah, what kind of trust is that? To know that after you've given your best, that even that if God tells you go forth, go on, try again, get up, say one more thing, even when you have given the lesson, the talk, the wisdom, and given, and it seems like you're just throwing paint against the wall. To you, Jesus says, and the charge is through Simon to say, but at your word. If God says go on, there's a blessing in following at the first word. No, I'm sorry. We are not children of misunderstanding. I'm sorry. We are not like that. We're not people who turn back. But to know that at the very first word of God, when he gives us a directive, a message, an assignment, a charge, keep and a God to glorify, that there is a blessing in knowing that we follow him the first time. I have the wonderful pleasure of stewarding and parenting my son, and I have to give him instructions and making sure now that he learns it at 5 so he won't have to learn it at 55, that there is a big difference in following instructions the first time. There's a blessing there in obedience. He says, then in he lets down the nets. Verse 6 says, and then when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. Here they were fishing not with lines and reels, not with as some people fish with bows and arrows in this time of our day. No, they were fishing with dragnets. And so he casts the net so far down, and as they were pulling in, the bounty, the blessing, began to break the net. The net doesn't fully break, but it begins to tear a little bit. There's something special that happens in this narrative, this story of obedience. And I know that this is a testimony that can be emulated through each and every one of followers of Jesus Christ. There are some stories that can even be shared in the comment section of this lesson to say that when I did what God told me to do, he opened up blessings that I didn't even have room enough to receive. The net didn't tear, but it began to tatter. Watch this. They signaled to their partners. I like that. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. Watch this. They were charged to buy a carpenter to begin fishing at night. Fishing at night. One disadvantage. They were charged by a carpenter to fish at night. They were charged to use the same dirty nets that they were in the process of cleaning. Two, that's another problem. They were charged to go fishing at night and to do something as they've been toiling and laboring. That's three. And then they were saying a charge to do it all at the whims of this carpenter. But watch what happens. Their obedience and their faithfulness leads them to not only to partake of such a harvest that they didn't have room enough to receive, but not only to bless them, that group of the one boat, but another boat and their partners. Scholars would say that these partners were the son of Zebedee. They were Andrew, and they were James and John, these fishermen that would trail along Jesus, this first introduction of disciples. And they, here they were. Ah, but there is a real message here. Our faithfulness, our introduction to the Lord, to this body of believers, this great of faith, this continued relationship, this beginning of the new kingdom, this grand spectrum that is God's church, this new order, this kingdom. One faithful person starts to bring about blessings for other people. Oh, I know. I know I'm in the book. And I know I may be in your story as well. I know the book says, check out what Paul said to Timothy. It was the faithfulness of his grandmother that allowed him to hear and to receive the word of God, so much so that he became a pastor and a writer of our New Testament. That's a biblical example. Personally, we know that it was the faithfulness of so many people, so many men and women along the way, who said, you know what, God wants better for your life. Who said, you know what, God has something in store with you. Who said, you know what, you don't have to live that way. Who said, you know, I see something in you. I see something in you, child of God. I see something in you, man, boy, or girl. I see something beyond, something that you can't see. Fellowship has a way of leading and pushing other people to blessings that God has in store. We are the beneficiaries of those who followed bravely. And now there are some people attached to our story. It seems that if the story is written for us through our own lens and eyes, but they are characters and God is doing something through you for them. Text calls them partners, but they become partners in faith that receives a blessing for God. Who can say that God has blessed them through some other partners of faith? It says that at this, their boat began to sink with the blessings. But when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, we know much about Simon's story. We know much about the outcome of his faith and fellowship. But here, we're just getting introduced to him. We have not seen him do anything much than just what he said here. Loan Jesus to the boat and listen to him when he said do. But yet he realizes, because of the extraordinary miracle, miraculous thing that happened when he followed God's word, that there was something different about him. No, we don't see initially the acts of sinful acts. But we see someone who realizes that they're based on what they see in Jesus, they're a sinner. I know our modern society has taken to the poor comparison of other people's situation. Yes, I know you may look like an angel comparably to other people. Oh, but I'm here to tell you that that is a false dichotomy. That is a straw man, because the elements of what it means to be a sinner is not how you compare to another man, but how you compare to the God man. Compared to what Jesus has done, he looks at his life and he realizes it is not just about his action. His character, his very essence, is a sinful man. Oh, what life could be given when people realize that the standard is not another man, but the standard is Jesus Christ himself. He's astonished at what God is able to do, realizing that it's only through the power of God, knowing his inner condition as sinful. He says, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish that they had taken. Verse 10, it says, "And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee." I told you they were there. "Who were partners with Simon," partners in their fishing empire and entrepreneur venture. "And Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men.'" What would normally happen after they would retake their haul from the sea, they would be in possession of a dead product. They would sell their dead wares in open air markets. But now Jesus takes their very knowledge, and he takes that and he says, "You know what? You're going to be fishing for men." I like this here. I'm reminded of one of the things that has just taken time and occurred at the moment of this taping. We have just closed out our discipleship training for our fall semester of 2020, and we had the privilege to hear those wonderful testimonies. I encourage you, when the next enrollment comes up, find yourself busy in studying and growing in God's word. I heard the testimony of Minister Dixon, who told us the difference between a talent and giftedness. Giftedness is a thing that the Holy Spirit endows with every believer that would edify the body of Christ to doing and fulfilling its mission. Talent is what is given to you naturally, that natural acclimate to do those things that you naturally have talent. Your job, you may have talent for singing, you may have talent for whatever physical activity, you may have a talent for. But here we see something. Jesus is not only giving gifts when you come to faith and believing, but he's sanctifying your talent. This life is about a whole life change, not a partial change. I know here we have the issue of living some compartmental aspects to our lives. Jesus is not interested in just half a man. He's interested in a whole man. And that's why I told you earlier in this lesson that there's something special about when an adult and a man and a woman come to faith. Jesus takes all of your experiences. He takes all of your know-how. He takes all that you are capable of doing, and he sanctifies it for his purpose and for his use. The question is, are you willing to follow him? Here's what Simon says in chapter 5 and verse 11. It says, and they had brought their boats to land, and they left everything, and they followed him. The challenge here is not for you to lose and leave your job. No, that's not the wisdom of the text. But the wisdom of the text is for you to render everything. Simon, earlier part of this lesson, once he sees this and all that God has done, a part of what he does is he bows down. Jesus is sitting as he was stationed during his teaching. Simon realizes he makes that direction of declaration of a sinful man. He bows down before the master and he gives him everything. God is calling to have your all. God can use you whatever talent you have, whatever experience that you have through life. He can use it all. He will meet you on the common field of your understanding. And he will do a wonderful work through you if you follow him. Let us pray. God, how we thank you for this opportunity to know for real and again the blessing of following. Thank you for showing us through your first disciples what it looks like when we hear your word. Despite of all of our common understandings of what's going on in our life, if we just listen to you, you will open up a blessing that we won't even have room enough to receive. In fact, not only us, but you will bless our associates, our partners, our household, our brothers, our sisters, our community, our nation, and the world. Thank you for giving not only us this shared lesson, but allowing us to live an ultimate story. Be with us. Guide us along the way. Son Jesus Christ, we name, we pray, and we say, amen.